Thank you, Tiffany. Aren't you glad you're standing redeemed? Think about it, standing before the God of the universe. If Jesus don't take our place, we wouldn't have any hope. But we stand in Him. Amen. I want you to go to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, this morning. You can get over there and start moving from about Ephesians into Philippians to your right, then Colossians to your right, and get over there to about chapter 3. Going to read a few verses out of it. Recognize it's Father's Day, and we'll be reading some verses. There's so much in the Bible concerning fathers and duties and how fathers ought to be respected and honored and all the good things that you can imagine. It's very important to God when you have as many verses in the Bible on a subject like that as we have concerning fathers. Talk to you a little bit this morning on a child's champion. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about daddies ought to be the champions, ought to be looked up to by the kids. So how do I get to be that way as a father? Well, let me just put it this way. When the kids are born, you are that way. Be careful you don't lose it. It's from birth with kids to look up to the parents. Sometimes we'll hear about a kid being a mama's girl or daddy's girl or daddy's boy or mama's boy or something. But the truth is we have that opportunity as parents to be what the kids want us to be if we don't blow it, amen? Colossians chapter 3, picking it up in verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I'm not going to read the rest of it, though it's so good, but for time's sake, jump with me to verse 16 of this third chapter. Paul, of course, is giving instruction. Now we're going to get into some specific stuff that he says. He says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We've been doing that this morning, if you hadn't noticed. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Song service is a part of worshiping the Lord. Did you know that? Praising Him. Verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Then we get kind of specific here. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Then to fathers, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Parallel passage with this in Ephesians 6 tells us to raise them. Fathers are to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Sometimes fathers get the idea that's not their job, that it's the wife's job, but it's your job too. Provoke not your children to anger, but lest they be discouraged. Goes on talking to servants, but I'm going to stop right there as our thoughts today is having to do with fathers. The Bible tells us the father, the man, is to be the leader. And he ought to be the one that sets the pace, sets the standard in the home. The Bible says he's the head. Now, we move to this day and stage of the woman's rights and all this. But listen, you ladies, you have no greater rights than what the Bible gives you and what in the position that God gave you. That's what's so wrong with not only a religion like Islam today, but what is wrong with the political correctness of America today also. And I won't get off on that. It's on the fathers today. But I want to say our kids are looking for the values in the wrong place in a distorted day that we live in. We talked in Sunday school this morning about the homosexual agenda. A whole big part of that is daddy's and mama's fault of raising kids to not know which gender they are. Right. Help yourself on that. I'll just say this. Yes, ladies, do not fight your husband over teaching your boys, your sons, to be men. It's all right for them to get dirty. It's all right for them to get in a tussle once in a while. It's all right if they're a little bit sloppy. I'm going to get in all kind of trouble with this. But it's all right once in a while for them to be a little bit slouchy, a little bit dirty, a little bit less feminine than what we got going on today. Because we're raising too many boys with an effeminate attitude that's condemned in the Bible. And common sense. I think about the mother looked out the window, and I guess she'd worked in the yard and the grass looked good, and as she looked out the window thereabouts just before supper, and she saw her husband wrestling around with the two boys on the grass, and she hollered, you're going to destroy the grass. And he hollered back and he said, we're not raising grass, we're raising boys. There's a big truth to that. And we've lost that to a great degree, and it's too bad. And a part of our trouble today is missing fathers, and ladies having to try to do the job of both parents. And it's a real, you can look up the stats on it, a whole lot of the crime and the gangs and everything else that's going on in the news is because of missing dads. Not where they ought to be, not doing what they ought to be. I read over in Hebrews chapter 11, and when you get to chapter 12, it says, we are encompassed by so great a crowd of witnesses. That's referring back to Hebrews chapter 11, where all the Bible heroes have been listed. And most of those heroes in that 11th chapter of Hebrews were dads. And they were the leaders. They were the ones that stood for the faith. And we often call it the hall of faith there with God's heroes. And I want to say that every kid needs a champion. He needs a hero. It's natural. When I was a kid, it was not videos. It was comic books. But we had our heroes, didn't we? And it got to be aggravating, especially, when comic books got to where they cost more than a dime and all that. But somebody had a Superman, and somebody had a Lone Ranger, or somebody had somebody else like that. And you know what? There's a void there, but you know who my greatest hero was? It was my dad. And I've heard little boys on the school grounds, and I was one of them. My dad can beat your dad. My dad's stronger than your dad. And hey, we'd put up a pretty good argument and sometime have a little fisticuffs over stuff like that. But the truth is, that's born in a kid. And I want to say to you fathers, as long as you can, let them think that way of you. Or they may go through a stage when they get to be teenagers where they get a little embarrassed over mom and dad being old fogies and all that. But let them grow a little older and they'll start coming back. Let them grow a little older and dad will get a whole lot smarter than he was in their minds, and rightfully so. I want to just say this. Every kid needs a champion. He needs a hero. I want to say I'm thankful, and I know everybody didn't have a dad like mine, and I'm thinking a lot about him today, but the truth of the matter is every dad ought to be a dad of purity. Yeah. You know, you got a dad, he later became a dad. Joseph, as a young man, kept himself pure. Remember the story of Joseph? Staying pure is not being sissified. We got a crazy thing today that macho is how bad you stink, smell, look. No. A real one is one that can self-discipline himself to do what is right. It's easy to do wrong. It's easy to just be slouchy. It's just easy to care about nothing. It's just easy, but that's not right. And to stay pure is a problem today. We're in a day and time when pornography is a billions of dollar business, and it's as close as holding that little electronic phone in your hand. And we got a lot of good men that's waysided, the sin caught up with them, and disaster hit, and the whole thing, it started with just exactly that. Just what David started with, looking when he ought not been looking. Yeah, it starts with the eyes. What Job say in the Bible? He said, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I'll not look upon a maid. That's where it starts, fellas. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, he said, when you look on a woman to lust after, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. And ladies, let me also say, you're not guilty, guiltless in that. If you say, boy, this will knock their eyes out, then you get part of the sin that the man thought of when he was looking at you. Help yourself. I knew this wasn't going to be too popular. It's Bible, though. Pornography capitalizes on the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. And what a destructive thing it has become in our America today. And a lot of families are reaping in their kids because the dad wasn't pure. A lot of boys, first pornography they saw was the books dad had hid that they found. Hey, I'm a pastor. I've sat in the office. I've had kids come sit across the from me and tell me that was the first thing they saw. They found daddy's Playboy magazine. Boy, it's getting quieter and quieter. First place they found it. Dad, you're going to be accountable for that. They got hooked on it. Maybe you were hooked on it. Maybe you got free of it. Maybe they never will get free of it. It starts with the eyes. Other things, drinking, doping, all of that will come along. Dirty mouth, all of that business. And dads, you can say, I told them boys not to do that. I told them not to smoke. Do you smoke? I told them not to cuss. Do you cuss? I told them not to look at that. Do you look at that? They're going to do as you do, not as you say. And it's too bad. Oh, we need dads of purity today. That's the kind of dad we need to be, a champion. We need dads of persistence. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, well, there's a good example in the Bible. Remember the Caleb, even after he was old, he kept on defeating the enemy and conquering the land? What a great example. He was, after 40 years, still faithful. There's a lot of fellows that they're faithful until the test gets too big. The pain becomes too great. The struggle is too much. Then they let go and they slip. And nowadays, curse is inconsistency. Up and down, little things knock people off the playing field and put them on the bench. That's the trouble in our nation. What we need in our nation today is men that will stand and keep standing. Not just stand for a little while. Stand up and do right. Old Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right if the stars fall. In other words, you just keep on keeping on. On the right course is what it's talking about. Our day and time of inconsistency is on. I think about our forefathers. Patrick Henry said what? Give me liberty or give me death. He stood. Most of us as kids, we heard about Davy Crockett, didn't we? Little songs and coon caps and Davy Crockett. How many of you knew that Davy Crockett one time was a congressman? He actually went to Congress. He died at the Alamo, you'll remember that. But David Crockett didn't fit too good in Congress because he went up there with a country boy standard, Christian standard, that if it's right, you stand for it. If it's wrong, you don't compromise with it. And that's what we need in Washington, D.C. today. Instead of a whole bunch of compromisers and wobble heads that just go this way or go that way, that's our trouble today. We need some statesmen, not politicians, that will stand up and say, what's best for America? This is where I stand. Bless God, I'll do nothing else but stand what's right. If I lose my job over it, don't matter. Boy, oh boy, we're in a day and time now. They want to save their job. They vote for the devil himself if he showed up to keep their job. I've never seen the beat of it in my life. Sadly, now, we're teaching the generation to follow us to tolerate anything. Dads, there is a right and there is a wrong. And that son needs to see that daddy stood right even if it cost him a price. I mean, it's a big deal today. We're teaching them now to tolerate everything and just don't mention it. I taught on it in Sunday school this morning, this current news this week with the homosexual agenda. You know what? Most people, most good Americans, most decent church-going Christian Americans are doing, they're just being quiet. They're not saying much. hope it'll pass. No, it's not going to pass. The storm's growing bigger and bigger, just like the Bible said. Evil men are growing worse and worse. And to dodge it and hide your head in the sand, that's not the right answer to it. We ought to stand against some things. You may not can go to Washington, D.C. and straighten them out, but you got a lot of influence in your home with your kids. Black preacher I know of said his daughter got up to Dayton age. He said the doorbell rang. He said he went to the door. He said there stood what was supposed to be a young man with his pants halfway down, with earrings sticking out of every part of his body. And he opened the door and looked at him, saw what a sorry sight he looked. Opened the door. The young man said, I'd like to see your daughter. Preacher said, no, you wouldn't like to see my daughter. And he closed the door. Walked back through the house, and the girl said, did I hear the doorbell, Daddy? He said, yep. She said, was there somebody there looking for me? He said, nobody looking for you. Nobody looking for you. Thank God for somebody to take a stand like that. Instead of tolerate everything, no matter how bad it gets, no matter what it represents, well, we got to love them anyway. No, no, you don't have to love their sin. You need to love what is right and hate what is wrong and take a stand against it. And as daddies today, if we don't get up on our hind legs, we're not going to have many of our kids turn out right. If we don't take a stand anymore. Dads, be a dad of persistence. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't just, well, I tried for a while, and then they just nagged and nagged, If it was right, you ought to stuck with it. My dad used to teach me, finish what you started. I mean, on a physical job, you don't start and quit. Even when I was a little fella doing a chore, if I just gave up and quit, I had to go back and finish it. Not only that, I had to clean up behind myself. Boy, that's a big one anymore. Yeah. That's an amazing one anymore. But Dad had this crazy idea you ought to finish what you started. I tried to practice that with my kid, and more than one time, I remember one time he was doing quite a little bit of fishing around the lake there behind the house. He was just a little fella. And I got to noticing fish thrown here and thrown there. And I said, Stephen, if you're going to fish, you got to clean them. No, I said, yes, you have. You catch one, you clean it. You know, he didn't like fishing near as much after that. But that's a principle involved there. Finishing the job, doing it right, man. And we dads, we need to, our dads taught us, did we pass it on? Did we pass it on? We need to be dads of persistence. We need to be dads of perspiration. I better interpret that for you. Sweat. You know what the Bible says about that? It says that man earns his living by the sweat of his face, not his brow. We always quote it, sweat of your brow. You can get this kind of sweaty real easy. But when it starts dripping off your face, brother, you're getting the job done. And I'm talking about work. I'm talking about the hard work ethic. You know, somebody says, well, I'll just pray and God will do it. God don't work that way. You say you don't believe in praying? Sure do. I believe in praying while the sweat's running down the hoe handle. You understand what I just say? Doing what you can do, asking God's blessing on it, but you don't sit there and say, just Lord, do it for me. No. We've moved to that today, but we need some dads of perspiration, a work ethic that will get the job done. You know what we're seeing in politics right now? We're seeing socialism taking over. Mr. Bernie Sanders makes nothing about it. He claims to be a full-blooded socialist. There's about that much difference in he and Hillary. And there's not a whole lot of difference in what some of it we've had in the past, but the more we go into socialism, the more we lose our freedoms. That's right. If you want the government to take care of you, the best way they'll do it is put you in prison. You can get your meals. You can get security. Oh, yeah. The truth of the matter is, socialism is going to take our freedoms totally away. Now, if you're a freedom-loving America, that's distasteful to you. If you want to pay your own way and earn your own way, that's distasteful to you. But that's what is right on track right now. The government's got to pay for my college. The government's got to give me everything that I want. And no, I'm not going to take a job. I can go earn more at the, not earn, but steal more at the welfare office than I can working. Yeah, right here in this town, number of years ago, I remember another man and myself approaching some men that didn't have a job that summer. And we was trying to hire for a big job. We was trying to hire some laborers. We explained minimum wage or whatever it was we paid. And I never forget the answer. One of them spoke for the rest. He said, "No," said, "that might to mess up our drawing." That's what's messed up our country, is when we quit the work ethic. Not a popular sermon, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You know, too bad. Too bad. I say this, though. We need to be dads that teach a work ethic. The old Jewish father used to say, or the Jewish society used to say, communities, a dad that raises a boy without teaching him a trade raises a thief. Think that one through just a little bit. There's a whole lot of truth to that, folks, a whole lot of truth. Sad thing is today that we're looking around and we're seeing our country go down the tubes because we've lost some of the values that fathers used to pass on to their sons and their sons passed on to their sons. That's the Bible plan all the way through. You read it. You read it from cover to cover, and that's what God is saying. And we need some dads. We need a dad that will keep themselves pure, and dads that will persist on staying faithful and doing things right. And yes, teaching that it's not all supposed to be handed to you. You're supposed to want to earn your way, and there ought to be a little pride in that, right kind of pride. Then we ought to be dads of prayer. You know, a lot of prayer talk in the Bible. Do you know that Abraham called the father of the faithful? Well, we'll go back before him. Go back to Job. You go back and find out that Job was concerned about his family, concerned about his kids. And even before the devil was able to take all that Job had, you remember that Job was sacrificing, he was worshiping, he was coming before God and representing his family. Read the story over there. And he was concerned. He was praying for his family. And you find out Abraham stood before the Lord. I was reading a little bit of extra history on Abraham. I believe it was this week or last week. I was reading where that you read about Nimrod in the Bible. Remember Nimrod? Abraham was born in the country, what we'd call the country of Nimrod, when a very evil dictator was on hand. And Abraham would have been killed, much like Pharaoh was killing the boy babies when Moses was born. Abraham would have been killed if his father had not stood against the government system. And while Moses was hid in the bulrushes in a river, Abraham and his mother was hid away in a cave from Nimrod. That's secular history, not Bible. But the truth of the matter is, Abraham grew up because a father got him started. Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. God dealt specially with him and raised a whole family that we call the Jews today, beginning back there with Abraham. It all started from a father to a father to a father. And when you find out how that Abraham was called of God to even offer Isaac, and then God stopped him from killing the boy, but the boy was obedient enough to go and do what his father said, even when he was smart enough to know he was about to be the sacrifice. That's quite a relationship between a father and a son when you read about Abraham and Isaac there. And Abraham was a prayer warrior. He stood before God trying to save Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that? And there wasn't even 10 righteous left in the city. Lot had not done his job, and the judgment fell and all that. But I'm saying to you, some dads in the Bible are great examples of prayer warriors, watching over their families. Let me say this. You ought to start when it's young, when the kids are young. It's not just mama's job to tuck them in, Dad. It'll be a special thing if you'll do that. Years later, you'll remember it and you'll be blessed by it. I remember when didn't get to do it every night, but some nights I got to tuck my boy in and say prayers with him. And when he was young, and you learn a lot of things. You learn a lot of things. You hear the kid pray. You hear anybody pray, honestly pray, you learn a lot. You know that? You learn what's in their heart, what they're thinking about. I remember one night I was down at the bedside with Stephen, and he was saying his prayers. And I remember one night he said, he's talking to God. He said, God, why'd you make bulldogs? Now, that was way out of context. But I thought, some bulldog has made him mad. Some bulldog has threatened him. And it's in the kid's heart. I didn't laugh then. I went on but you know what? That's a precious memory to me now. And sometimes they'd say something pretty deep that you wouldn't think a kid would be thinking about. Hey, don't cheat yourself on what will come natural. God would want you to be the champion, the hero of those little boys and little girls. And don't blow that part. If you're young enough listening to me now, some of you are thinking back, and some of you maybe are thinking forward, and some of you got the opportunity ahead of you, and there's some listening that wish they hadn't blown it. And that's easy to do. The devil sure don't want you to do right with your kids. But a dad of prayer. George Truett was an old pastor of the First Baptist Church for many years in Dallas, Texas. That's one of the biggest Baptist churches in the country then and now. And been through a couple of pastors, of course, since him. George Truett, you read a lot about him. But he tells a story one time how that he was over at a daddy's house. The little boy, very sick, small baby, not an infant, but a small child, and appeared to be dying, had the doctor over there, preacher. And finally the doctor, doing all he could do for the baby, finally backed away and shook his head and says, he's gone. He's gone. The daddy said no. And he reached over and scooped that little baby boy up and pressed him to his chest. And the preacher standing there said, I never heard or witnessed such a prayer as I heard that daddy pray. God spare my son. God, if you'll spare him, I'll raise him for you. He said he heard that daddy pray like he'd never heard anybody pray as he squeezed that baby boy to his breast. And he said, all of a sudden, the doctor said, he moved. He's breathing. Shorten the story. The baby lived and the doctor got saved because he saw what God did. That's what the preacher told. That's the story he told. You say, what do you mean? I mean, we have the opportunity, if we're saved, that is to be a daddy of prayer. I mean, to pray for our families, to pray about so many things for them, and only heaven will reveal, once we get there, what those prayers caused to happen. Biggest thing, it may have caused that child to be in heaven with you. That's probably the most important, because souls of our own children are in the balance. I think about Moses. He stood and prayed for all of Israel and told the Lord, if you won't save them, blot me out of your book. And I mean, he had such a compassion, like he was the father of all Israel. In Romans chapter 9, you find Paul crying out for Israel again, that he could wish himself a curse from God. What a heart he had as he prayed. And I say to us today, what a power we have in prayer that we probably too often neglect. See those kids, dads need to see Christ in us, that we believe in Him. Prayer is a testimony of what you believe. Did you know that? You've heard me tell this before, but I think about it. This is a little special to me right now. My dad died in August of 1984. Father's Day came just like it's coming now in June. So one of the last sermons, if not the very last, that my dad sat right out there and heard me preach was on Father's Day. I'm sure I was saying very much what I'm saying this morning. I wish I had that to do over. If I'd have known he was going to be dead in less than 60 days, I might have said something a little different to him. I might have publicly maybe expressed my appreciation or my love. Maybe I would have. I think maybe I would have. But I thank God for my dad. He became one of my deacons here. I got saved before he did, but he grew in the Lord and became a great prayer warrior. And I said at his funeral, and I still say it, I said, I fear the fact that my dad is gone because he was such a prayer warrior, upholding my hands in the ministry and the struggle of serving God. I remember my brother had first case of polio in this county. Nobody knew what to do, and of course it hurt him real bad, and at the time it looked like he was going to die. They quarantined me from school, and they ultimately took him to Lakeland, then to St. Petersburg. Daddy was trying to scratch out a living with a fruit truck, and on the weekends we'd drive all the way over to the hospital and often leave mother and sometime pick her up back and forth. But Harvey was getting, my brother was getting really point of death. And I remember one time, Daddy had gone check on mother. He drove over during the night and after the job, the day of hauling fruit, left me home and left me with Grandma. Grandma lived with us. Now, I remember about 10 o'clock in the morning or 11, looking out the window and seeing the fruit truck come up the road toward the house. And I could see through the window and the windshield of the truck. Mom and Dad both were in that truck. It scared me to death. I was about 10 years old. Scared me to death, because here's what I deducted. Daddy's bringing Mama back because my brother Harvey's dead. I assumed that. I'd heard the women over talking that around the clothesline, you know how neighbors do. They'd shake their head and look at each other and say, there's no hope for him. As a little boy, I'd heard that talk. And I went to screaming, jumping up and down and hollering, Grandma, he's dead. They're both in the truck. He's dead. He's dead. I still feel it today. Grandma, a little old tiny frame woman, she hugged me and she said, maybe not, son, maybe not. We both held each other and cried. Sure enough, he hadn't died, but he almost had. I remember after that, being in the truck with Daddy, coming up the hill from your old house, Sister Wren, coming up the hill there toward the railroad track. It used to be the roughest road in town. Remember that. That old truck was bouncing. We was driving slow, and Harvey was in the hospital, and the ladies around the clothesline had talked, and I'd heard them, and I'm sitting in the seat with Daddy. And I looked over at his face, and I said, Daddy, I called probably one of the ladies' names. I said, they say Harvey's going to die. He's going to die. And I'll never forget, I saw the tears swell up in my dad's eyes. And just for a split second, he started just automatically praying. I never saw my dad cry after that or before that. I never saw him cry. But I saw him cry, and the tears running down his face as I heard him pray. for my brother. You wouldn't know what that did for me. That my dad believes in God. My dad believes as a child. I knew mother was praying. I saw her praying all the time. But to see that out of my dad, my big, strong hero, my champion, my dad, it told me he believes. I wonder, fathers today, your son ever see you pray? Ever see that you really believe? Anything ever happen? Did you ever tell him how much you believe? Or that you believe? You'd be surprised how big that is. I was probably 10 years old, but I never forgot it. It meant so much to me. I want to say to you today, when that baby's born and they come into under your headship, you're the hero. You can bend that twig any way you want it to grow. Please be the kind of father this Bible tells you to be and raise that kid in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask a different question. How many of you with our heads bowed, how many of you are fathers here today? Would you raise your hand? A lot of hands, folks. Even with the crowd so down, a lot of hands. I could ask questions that we wouldn't want to answer, and I won't ask them all. I'd have to raise my hand if I said, if I had another chance, could I do it better? I'd say yes, I believe I could, knowing maybe what I know now. Would I like to have another opportunity? Maybe so. Maybe I could do better. Some of you still have the chance ahead of you. Some of you can change. It's not too late to change. Some of you that's never been saved, how you expect a kid to get saved when it don't look like dad cares about it? He don't care about his soul. Why should I care about mine? I've watched it as a preacher through the years, how that kids look up to dad. If dad loves Jesus, if dad comes to church, if dad's living right, if dad's trying to be pure, if dad's doing right, it's a great big incentive for them to do. And if he's doing wrong, many young people, I'm thinking about a preacher right now, his dad's in jail, done wrong, but the kid turned out right. And it does happen that way sometimes, but it's a better thing when dad's the example. Here on Father's Day, it'd be a good time, if you're not saved, to come receive Jesus, to be a testimony. All the good thing is he rubs out the past. He gives you a new sheet of paper to write on. You can be born again and have a new start. I pray today as we give an invitation that if you're here unsaved, that you'd come. That's for mothers and young folks too. Every one of you that's not saved, you ought to come to Christ. Time's growing short and the world's about to blow up. You need Jesus. You need him now. But I'm especially talking to men today. Men that would be men. Men of God that would lead the family right. That's what we need in America right now. Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Commit the invitation to you. Lord, I thank you for godly fathers. I thank you for the godly men you've raised up and put in our church membership here to keep your ministry and work going. Father, I pray for those in Radio Land or in this building that's never received Christ, never been that testimony to a son or daughter that you want them to be. I pray today you'd give them courage to step out and come and receive Christ. Father, they may be a good dad without being saved, but they'd be a better dad, Lord, if they knew the Lord Jesus. Have your way in this invitation. We commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll receive Christ, will you meet me here? Will you come? I hope you